With us into Micah, Micah chapter number 5. Micah's right after the book of Jonah, if you need to find it in your Bible. We want to look at some things. God just began to deal my heart, and I was searching for what to preach and what to do, and thinking about Christmas and how Christmas comes and goes so quick. It's like Christmas songs. You know, you got a short window of time that you got to sing Christmas songs because nobody wants to hear them after Christmas, it seems, although they're still relevant. It's like this nice Christmas tie that someone gave me last year for Christmas, and I love it. It's a beautiful tie, but I can only wear it for a short period of time, so you'll see it a lot, amen, in the next few weeks, and I just appreciate it. It seems like we try to crush Christmas into a small time frame, but we need to allow Christmas to reign throughout our hearts and lives through the whole year, amen? It's the story of Christmas. It's the story of the gospel. The story of Christmas is the beginning of God's expression, His pouring out of His love to us and everything. If you found Micah chapter 5, we invite you this morning to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. And I can tell already y'all need to start praying for my voice, amen, if you would. I'm going to ask Brother Jim, if you would, to pray over our scripture when we get done reading. The Bible says in Micah chapter 5, verse number 1, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth have brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land. And when he shall tread in your pastures, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men." Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace? You may be seated. In Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, we have the prophetic words of God through the prophet Micah of the coming of our Savior, the coming of our Lord Jesus, specifically announcing that he would be born in Bethlehem. As you read the gospel narratives and in Matthew, we read that as the wise men sought Jesus, they found out that he was in Bethlehem to be born. In Luke's gospel, we find out how that because of the census, they were sent to Bethlehem, required to go to Bethlehem take part in the census. But Mary gave birth when they made it to Bethlehem. We find out that Bethlehem is the place where Jesus is born. We all know that. And we all sing about Bethlehem. And we all go on about Bethlehem. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. And there's a multitude of Christmas songs that talk and mention Bethlehem. But you know, outside of Jesus being born in Bethlehem, have you ever thought about what Bethlehem really was and what Bethlehem really is? And have you ever considered why of all the places in all the world that the King of Glory could come into this world, how was he brought into this world in an obscure, insignificant, unimportant little town like Bethlehem? He could have been born in Jerusalem, the capital, where the kings reigned. He could have been born, no doubt, in Athens, where the place was noted for its intellect and its mind. He could have been born even in Rome, where the imperial seat of government and the seat of all power was and was known and was made manifest unto the world at that time. There was a multitude of places that Jesus could have been born in, but he was born in Bethlehem. And I want to preach to you this morning on this thought as we look at Bethlehem for a few moments, perhaps why Bethlehem was a suitable place for Jesus to be born. First, as we think about Bethlehem, we need to realize that Bethlehem is two different places in Israel. There's a Bethlehem in Galilee in the tribe of Zebulun, but that's not the Bethlehem that is specified. God was specific in his prophecy when he said it would be Bethlehem Ephratah, which was in Judah, right outside, just a few miles outside of Jerusalem. About 5 miles away from the city of Jerusalem lies the little town of Bethlehem, a sleepy little place that is mentioned throughout the Bible in a few places. But the thing that made Bethlehem most famous and most recognizable for was the fact that that's where David was born, the little shepherd boy of Bethlehem who slew the giant, the little shepherd boy who became the king of Israel, the little shepherd boy who is known as the greatest king that Israel ever knew and Israel ever produced, was born in the town of Bethlehem. And it was only fitting that God, I think, would choose to bring forth his son in the realm and in the shadow of such greatness, even though the rest of the world, Bethlehem was insignificant. The first mention that we have of Bethlehem in the Bible, it was a place of burying. In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 35 and verse number 19, the Bible tells us that on the way back from Padan Aram, as Jacob was leading his children, as Jacob and his wives were coming, that the matriarch, the favorite wife, the preferred wife, the first wife of Joseph died in childbirth along the way. And as she was burying her child, she named him Benoni, the son of my sorrows. As she departed this world, she realized that it was in giving of birth that her life was being taken from her. But Jacob, her husband, named him Benjamin, the son of my right hand. Let me tell you this morning, as we look at Bethlehem, and as we look at this tragedy that took place there, we can be reminded that Jesus came into this world not because of us, and not because we were deserving of it, but because God knew that we needed strength. God knew that we would need help. God knew that we would need hope. And instead of being the son of sorrows, he came forth and he was the son of my right hand, the strength of my right hand, the strength of God. And let me tell you something this morning, friends. He's my strength today. When I'm weak and when I'm failing and when it seems that I can't go on, oh, praise God, I can reach out to that hand that's always there. I can reach out to that one that is always a strength, always an encouragement, and is always a help. We see as Rachel died there, the old realm, the matriarch of Judaism, the matriarch of the 12 tribes, was laid to rest. I see another picture there as we see religion that had failed, a religion that had let down on what God had proclaimed and what God had sent forth, a time to be sorrowful for, a time to look at and to recall the times when man had disrupted and disputed the perfect will of God for his life. Praise God, he sent help to the way. Amen. Amen. The law couldn't save man. The law was perfect. Amen. The law today is still perfect. The problem is that the law was given to imperfect man. And man, unable to keep that law, could find no hope and could find no help in anything outside of what God had provided. And God sent His Son. The Son gave His life. Amen. And we found help at the foot of Calvary. Amen. I think it was only fitting that God sent His Son to Bethlehem to come into this world and be wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Bethlehem was the poorest of the poor among the cities of Jerusalem. Bethlehem was nothing to be compared to. It was nothing to be talked about. It was nothing to be bragged about, because there was nothing worthy in Bethlehem other than it was a wide spot in the middle of the road on the way from Jerusalem to travel into the wilderness and to go into Egypt. It was just there, kind of like Charlestown. Amen. A wide spot in the road that most people have never heard of. Most people would never be aware of. Most people would never realize it existed. But praise God, in the midst of this poverty, in the midst of all this obscurity, in the midst of everything that man would look down upon, God seen fit to bring forth His Son to lay Him in that manger, in that stable where animals were feeding, no doubt, and where the smells of the livestock were around Him, so that He, in His humility, could take on the image and the likeness of sinful man, that He might deliver man from the curse of sin. He might deliver man from the curse of the law, and He might bring hope where there was no hope. Amen. Amen. So we see Bethlehem as a place where life has been brought forth out of death. Life was brought forth even though death reigned. I'm glad that though death reigns, life in Christ Jesus is still supreme. Amen. I'm glad that though death still claims our bodies, death still claims these earthly tabernacles in which we dwell on this side. Praise God. Praise God that life still abides in the hearts and lives of those who have trusted in this baby that was born in Bethlehem, who died on that old rugged cross. We see Bethlehem as the place that Naomi called home. Naomi and her family had left Bethlehem to go to Moab to find food in the midst of the great famine. And they heard there was food in Moab, and they went to Moab. And you know, a lot of people, they go someplace else looking for what they need. And God will supply what you need where you are if you'll trust in Him. Amen. Amen. And when they got to Moab, all they found was sorrow. Amen. They found death. First, the father died. And then the two sons died and left all of them widows behind. And Ruth and Orpha and Naomi were left alone there. And Naomi said, "I'm going home. You go back to your families." And Ruth said, "No, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going back with you." And praise God. She trusted God. She said, "Your God will be my God." She trusted God, and she went back with Ruth to Bethlehem, and there she met the most wonderful thing that ever happened. Now, I gave a couple of y'all this week something to check out. How many went and checked out Boaz's family tree? Amen. Did any of you look it up? Good. Amen. Good. I tell you what, it's different. Naomi, she met she went back to her homeland, and she said, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. There's nothing in my life. My life is barren. God has just taken everything away. I'm not fruitful anymore. Call me Mara." And she sent to her daughter-in-law out into the fields to glean behind a near kinsman whose name was Boaz. And she gleaned the fruits of the field. And praise God, if you read the book of Ruth, you'll find one of the greatest love stories that's ever been told. You'll find one of the greatest pictures of God's love that has ever been. And Naomi was excited when she found out that Ruth was in Boaz's field, because Boaz was a near kinsman, and he could be that redeemer, that kinsman redeemer that would be needed to help and to deliver and to bring them through this trial, this mara in their life. And praise God, when Boaz seen Ruth, he went, wow, look at that. He said, who is that? They said, that's the Moabite woman that came back with Ruth. And Ruth seen Boaz, and she says, wow, look at that. He thinks that I'm special. Look at that. He told me I can drink from his fountain. Praise God. Look at that. He's told his servants to make sure that I'm taken care of. Wow, I must be special in his eyes. Let me tell you something. I seen a thing that Jensen Franklin was preaching at John Hagee's church, and he was preaching, and he preaches a lot to young people. If you've never heard Jensen Franklin, he's a Pentecostal preacher, but I've heard him preach some really good messages to young people. And he was preaching to some folks there, and I guess he got to preaching to some young ladies. Amen. And he was encouraging these young ladies to look for the right kind of husband. Amen. He was encouraging them to find a man like Boaz. Amen. He said Boaz was a prominent man. Boaz was a principled man. Boaz was a compassionate man. Boaz was a caring man. Boaz was a wealthy man. Boaz was a godly man. And look here, young ladies, listen here. Listen here. That equals a husband. Amen. 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 A godly man equals a husband. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to share a little bit of this. Amen. You can go home and look it up on the internet. Amen. You go home and type in the Boaz family tree. Amen. Now listen. Boaz. Amen. Boaz. A-Z. Amen. Boaz has some folks in his family tree, young ladies, that you want to stay away from. Amen. There's old Brokaz. Amen. There's old Sorry As. Amen. Amen. There's old Shiftless As. Amen. And there's a whole list of them. Amen. And the whole list in the Boaz family tree that you need to stay away from. But you find a man like Boaz, that's a godly man, that will honor God and will lift God up. That's the kind of man you want in your life. And let me tell you something. The bride of Christ needs to be looking to the one that is the kinsman redeemer, that has that nature upon him, that is honored by God. He is the Son of God. Amen. And God sent him to be a kinsman redeemer. Here we find that Ruth, this Gentile that trusted Christ and trusted God by faith, found deliverance, she found sustenance, she found a husband, she found hope, she found everything that she needed right there in Bethlehem. And praise God, people who will still look to Bethlehem and look to the Lamb of God, the gift of God, the child of God that was given, we'll still find hope in this world today. Amen. And I tell you what, we need to leave the rest of this bunch where they need to be. Amen. We need to get off the religion kick and get on the Jesus kick. Amen. We need to get off the world's kick and get on the Jesus kick. We need to get off the political kick and get on the Jesus kick. I'm not a politician. I'm a Christian. Amen. Amen. I'm not a theologian. I'm a Christian. Amen. I'm not no longer who I used to be. My name is still Dennis R. Gilbert Sr., but praise God, greater than that. Praise God, greater than a title. Sherry Kitts, Dr. Sherry Kitts is more than Dr. Sherry Kitts. Praise God this morning. I know. I've been around her. I've evidenced it. I can experience it. She is a child of God. She's a Christian. And you ask her what her greatest title is, and I'll guarantee you, I'll guarantee you, amen, she'll tell you it's Christian. Amen. You ask what the greatest name is. Amen. It's Christian. Amen. I'm glad for a kinsman redeemer. Amen. And it was only fitting, I think, that God sent a kinsman redeemer to all of mankind that would accept the Gentiles as he would the Jew. Amen. Not only did he now take care of Ruth, but praise God, he took care of Naomi, her mother-in-law. Amen. Not only was Ruth taken care of, not only did Ruth find everything that she needed, but praise God, Naomi found everything she needed as well. Not only did Boaz and Ruth get married, but they had a child who became the grandfather of David, the greatest king that Israel had ever known, until the King of Kings and Lord of Lords sets up and establishes his throne upon that throne of David again in the millennial reign of Christ. Oh, praise God. Let me tell you something. There's a great story there. Amen. There's a great message. There's a great picture there that we need to see and we need not miss at Christmas when we think about the Christmas season. The name of Bethlehem, Bethlehem, Ephratah. The word Beth means house. Lehem means bread. It's the house of bread. Oh, praise God. How many know where we're going with this? Amen. Jesus said over in John chapter number 8, I believe it is, that he is the bread of life. Amen. He is the bread of life. Amen. I tell you what, bread has been called the staff of life throughout the world. It's wheat, it's bread that has sustained mankind down through the ages and down through history. It's still a bread that sustains those people who have nothing but to gain and nothing to grasp upon but the grains and the wheat that can be scratched out of the ground to provide for their very daily sustenance, one meal at a time. Bread is the staff of life. And let me tell you something, friends. Bread is still the staff of life. It has never stopped being the staff of life. And praise God, let me tell you something even greater than that. If you're lost and undone without Jesus, if you're starving and you're hungering for answers to your problems and answers to your question, if you're struggling and dealing with things that you don't understand, that you can't comprehend, that you're unable to grasp, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to grab a hold of the bread of life. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Amen. I am the bread of life. You want to live, you need to eat the bread of life. Amen. You want to live, you want to be sustained, you need to get a hold of the bread of life. You're dealing with things in your life that you don't understand. Let me tell you something. Just to get a hold of the bread of life. Amen. He'll take care of you. He'll fill you. He'll sustain you. Praise God. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Ephrata means fruitful field. Oh, praise God. He don't just have a little bit. He's got more than what you need. Amen. He don't have just enough for me and Brother Steve and Brother Jim. Praise God. He's got enough for everybody here. Amen. He don't have just enough for Charlestown Baptist Church, but he's got enough for everybody. Amen. And he won't run out today with what he gives you tomorrow. You know, the manna that God sent from on high, it never run out. They never had too little. They never had too much. They had what they needed when they needed. And praise God, the bread of life is the same way. Man, you get a hold of Jesus and you'll find out that he's always what you need. Amen. Go through sorrow. my lands, there's not a comforter like Jesus, the God of all comfort. Amen. You go through storms in your life. Amen. There's not one that can take control of the storms of your life like Jesus can. Amen. You walk in darkness. There's not one that can give you light like Jesus can. Let me tell you what. He's abundantly supplied our every need. And He's always more than what you need. Amen. The bread of life. Aren't you thankful this morning? Out of Bethlehem, praise God, out of that house of bread, praise God, came the bread of life. And not just a meager supply, but praise God, an abundant supply. A fruitful field, amen. That was all that we need. You know what else was at Bethlehem? Praise God, there was a well at Bethlehem. Amen. Let me tell you something. And when I'm eating a little bit of bread, you know what I want? I want a little bit of something to drink with it. Amen. And let me tell you something. David longed for a drink from the well of Bethlehem, and three of his mighty men broke through the armies of the Philistines and made it into Bethlehem. When the Philistines had taken Bethlehem and had stationed a garrison of soldiers there, they broke through and they got water out of that well at Bethlehem because David longed for a drink from the well. Let me tell you something. If you're longing for something this morning, if you're satisfied in the bread of Jesus, but you're still longing. Let me tell you what. Why don't you sip from the wells of living water? Amen. I want you to sip from the one who brings that living water in your heart. Jesus met the woman by the well of Samaria. He said, "You drink of this water, Brother Joe." He said, "You're going to thirst again." He said, "But praise God, I've got some water. Praise God, I can give you something that'll satisfy. Praise God, I've got water that you can drink. And when you drink of this water, praise God, you'll never thirst again." And I want you to know something today. That water's still abundantly flowing. That water's still abundantly free. That water's still abundantly available to anybody who's willing to sip from the springs of living water. Amen. I tell you what. You know what else happened at Bethlehem? I got to hurry along. You know what else happens at Bethlehem? In Bethlehem, right outside of the gate of the city of Bethlehem, there upon the plains of Ephrata, those fruitful plains, the shepherds kept watch over their sheep by night. Amen. Those weren't just any sheep. Amen. Those weren't just run-of-the-mill sheep. Amen. I tell you what, I'm glad there's some sheep that are special sheep. Amen. I'm glad there's some sheep that are marked sheep. Amen. I'm glad there's some sheep that are set aside sheep for His purpose and for His glory. At Bethlehem, the herds and the flocks for the sacrifices at the temple were kept there that they might lamb and they might kid and have the little ones so that the sacrifice in the temple could be met on a daily basis. Oh, praise God. There's a lamb that rose up out of Bethlehem. There's a lamb that was sent through the womb of that little virgin girl there that first Christmas night to become the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John seen him coming afar off and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Oh, praise God this morning. I want you to know something, that the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world has a blood that flows, a blood that was sufficient, a blood that is supreme, a blood that is superior to anything else. He wasn't just any lamb, He was God's lamb. He wasn't just any lamb, He was a special lamb. He wasn't just any lamb, He was a sinless lamb. He wasn't just any lamb, He was our lamb, if we'll claim Him as our own. Amen. Amen. And He takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Aren't you glad this morning? God sent forth His Son. God sent forth His Lamb out of that little town of Bethlehem. Amen. Out where the sacrifices were kept, out where the sacrifices were raised, God raised up his sacrifice. Amen. That he might die on an old rugged cross, and he might redeem us from the curse of sin and from the curse of the law. Oh, praise God. I tell you what, it's a place where a shepherd come forth, David, the great psalmist of Israel. Oh, David, the shepherd king, David, the one who had his humble beginnings there, started his life as a shepherd. Oh, praise God. The Bible says that Jesus is the shepherd of our souls, Luke 15 and 1 Peter 2:25. He's the good shepherd, Psalm 22 and John 10, 9 and 10. He's the great shepherd that the psalmist talked about in Psalm number 23. He's the chief shepherd that the psalmist wrote about in Psalm number 24. Praise God. He started out as a shepherd. He said, the good shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep are known by him. Oh, praise God. I'm glad the first time that he came as a shepherd, searching and seeking that was lost. He said he would leave the 99 to find one little lost soul. Oh, praise God. One little lost lamb. And here I am on that resurrection morning when the redeemed shall come again. I'll be in that royal number when he calls my name. When they all join in and sing hallelujah to the King, I'll cry with a joyful sound, Lord, here I am. Here I am, oh, here I am. I'm the one the shepherd left the fold and found. Hallelujah, praise God. Woo! There were 90 and 9. Oh, praise God, but he left them all to find that one little lost lamb. And here I am. Oh, praise God. The good shepherd doesn't forsake any. The good shepherd won't forsake one. And he'll leave the 99 to find the one. And praise God this morning. If you're lost and you're undone, the shepherd is coming your way this morning. He's a seeking you. He's a searching for you. He wants to save you this morning. He wants to deliver you this morning. He wants to get you in safety this morning. He wants to give you help. Woo! Amen. Praise God for the shepherd that rose up out of Bethlehem. Amen. You know why? Because one day that shepherd is going to sit upon the throne. Amen. And he's going to rule. He's not going to be shepherding anymore. Amen. One day he's not going to be shepherding anymore. Amen. One day, the shepherd going to sit down upon his kingly throne, and then he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Amen. In all nations, in all people, in every situation, will be subject unto him. Everyone will bow the knee. Everyone will lift the voice. And everyone will proclaim that he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. This lowly shepherd that came and sought a sinner just like me is one day going to sit upon a throne and hear the masses of all humanity throughout all the ages acknowledge that he's Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen. Whew. I'm so glad that a shepherd came out of Bethlehem. Amen. To save my soul. In Micah chapter number 5, in verse number 2, God so ordained that the birth of Jesus would take place in Bethlehem. History tells us, the Bible assures us, and His Spirit confirms that what God's Word had said has come true. God's plan was fulfilled when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. In Genesis chapter 3, God begins to reveal His plan to Adam and Eve when they had sinned and when they had done what God had told them not to do. And He begins to pour His plan out and to tell them that one day sin will be defeated. In Exodus chapter 12, a lamb begins to reveal more of God's plan as the blood is shed and the blood is placed upon the doorpost. And those who are under the blood find deliverance when the death angel passes through the land and takes the firstborn of all creatures. But those who were under the blood found safety. Those who were under the blood found hope. Those who were under the blood found peace. Praise God. And God begins to reveal how His mother will be a virgin. He reveals in Isaiah chapter 9 His authority and the person that He will be. He reveals in Isaiah 53 the suffering that God had planned for this lamb that would take away the sin of the world. God's plan is revealed in everything and in everything. We see that God's plan is fulfilled. God's plan always comes to fruition. God's plan always makes it to what God said it would do. And praise God, Jesus was born in Bethlehem because God willed it according to His plan. God prophesied it through the prophet Micah that we might know that God is still in control. God is still on the throne, that we might have assurance in every word, every jot and every tittle that is recorded upon the pages of the Bible is true and can be relied upon to the very last and very most minute detail. Amen. The Savior of the world, born in Bethlehem. 700 years before He was born, God records it through the prophet Micah. 700 years before any Roman Caesar could issue a decree, God already had the plan in action. 700 years before He would go to an old rugged cross and lay down His life and pour out His blood. And let me give you just this little bit. He didn't spill His blood. You spill something, it's an accident. Yes. Amen. He poured it out. He poured it out that He might redeem mankind from the curse of sin, that He might give mankind hope for eternity, that He might give mankind a home eternal in the heaven. And God, through the prophecies of His Word, has revealed unto us that He is still in control. He's still on the throne. Friend, there's a lot of folks that doubt God. These things weren't written after the fact. Every one of these prophecies were written before the fact. They're not like man does. Go back, like our politicians are now. They're trying to rewrite history. Man, don't you like that? They go back, they're trying to rewrite history. They're trying to rewrite the Constitution. They're trying to rewrite the historical facts of what has happened in America. America is what America is. Amen. With all her blemishes, with all her faults, with all her failures, but with all her glories and all her beauties and all her accomplishments. America is wholly what America is. We don't need to rewrite the history. God's word didn't have to be rewritten. These prophecies were given beforehand so that you could know and that you could be assured and that you can believe and you can have confidence in knowing that God does all things well. Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Simply because God willed it. Simply because God desired it. Simply because God said it would be so. Simply because we can look back at a prophecy that said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And know that He's still in control. And know that we can trust Him. And know that we can give everything that we have and everything that we're dealing with unto Him. The God who has orchestrated everything to the most minute detail is able to meet any need that you might have. And He can do it exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get our song of invitation.